The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
Right on. Thanks, X-Man, for making that known. And mahalo, Moes, for holding down the fort and extending the acoustic luau into a out-of-the-box experience. Backroads Radio, there we go. So as Tim and I were cruising the back roads on a hole, slowly making our way here, thank you for holding it down. Who was that artist, our last, I happen to enjoy that, need, what was that, eggs and milk? Maria and Friends. You gotta love a girl named Maria. So this is the Out of the Box Show. The phone lines are open. In fact, our resident, what do we call that? Phone operator, our sidekick, our handyman answering the phones. He's talking store with somebody from Utah. We might get him on the air. We've got a community forum for the next hour and 40 odd minutes. That's your community radio station providing you with a community forum to talk story about what's on your mind, what's on your heart. And we're going to be taking phone calls, got no guests lined up. It's kind of a free forum Thursday afternoon, and we're hoping to get some updates on some of the things going on with our council, some of the things going on in our state, and also around the world in this beautiful blue globe called Earth. So on that note, I'm going to play a song that's dedicated to those folks who've been fighting the XL pipeline, all that stuff, the decision by the Senate and Washington so far away to choose not to go forward with this Keystone XL or XL Keystone pipeline. If you know much more about that issue, feel free to give us a call. If you're a climate change denier, you know, please give us a ring, 826-7771 or 826-774 if you'd like. Oh, I got somebody who wants to, let me see if I can bring up the right, at the moment I'm little stretch. Brad, are you there?
Yeah, I am, but you're really low right now on your volume.
I'm really low. How's that? A little better?
Yeah, that's really well, man.
Terrific. Brad, thanks for calling Kauai Community Radio Out of the Box. Tim Kalai was talking with you, so I don't know what you guys were talking about, but it sounded interesting, and somehow he coaxed you into going on the radio. What's on your heart?
Here I am.
And you're trucking in Utah. That's what the note says.
Yeah, well, I had to leave Kauai. I was I moved back to Kauai, I don't know, like 8 years ago, and I had a couple of good years of work and then a few bad years of work.
And what's the difference between a good year of work and a bad year of work?
Well, Dr. Murray on the south side ripped me off for about $35,000.
So that was probably on the bad year of work.
That probably sucked. Yeah. So I had to deal with that, and then after I spent all my money working for him and not getting paid for it, I became homeless. So I was homeless for about 5 years.
Wow. On Kauai?
On Kauai, yeah. I lived in a tent on the south side for quite a while.
Shazam. So at least you were on the south side.
At least I was in the sunny spot, yeah. But, boy, I tell you what, man, things get hard, you know. I mean, living out in the middle of nowhere, you know, because you can't have a tent and be in a place where anybody can find you, so you have to be off in the jungle. And when you're off in the jungle, then you have a really long walk to get to the store.
No, and folks always say,
you're just getting water and food and everything is kind of a nightmare.
Yeah, exactly. And people say, if you're going to be homeless, I'd rather be homeless in paradise. And it's like, well,
it's still
kind of hard to be homeless wherever you are.
I was really fortunate, though. I met a lot of really wonderful people who helped me out. And I helped people out when I was up, and when I was down, people helped me up.
There you go. That's the aloha spirit.
Kind of it is fair. It is fair. And you know what? In all sincerity, you know, I live that way because I chose it.
Okay.
It wasn't really forced on me. I did have a couple of bad runs, but I did actually choose it. If I wanted to get more serious work, I probably could have gotten it. Probably.
Yeah.
When I tried, I was able to find it.
I mean, you made the best of the lemons that were given to you, and the lemonade was by choice.
The lemonade was by choice, yeah. But I ended up having to move, and I had to get out. I'm hoping to come back in between 5 and 10 years.
Uh-huh. And you'd been here before. This wasn't your first trip.
89. Uh-huh. 89, I moved.
Well, right on. And you're listening to us online, or did you just know that we were taking phone calls from truckers in Utah at the moment?
You know what? A random thing. I called the wrong phone number.
The wrong phone number?
Yeah. It was just that this is a random happenstance.
Yeah. Well, so I'm a firm believer that there are no wrong answers, and there are wrong questions, and no, this wasn't happenstance.
This is a random happenstance. So if you want to find out about, you know, I mean, I'll talk to you about it. But
well, homeless is a big issue here on Kauai. I mean, you've experienced it. I don't think it's gotten better. I think that there is a more concentrated effort to try to gather resources. But, you know, it's still, you know, hard for families.
I've heard a lot of things about, and you know, the one thing I was talking to your buddy, I forgot his name.
Tim, brother Tim.
You know, I was thinking, you know, like the GMO crop.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you get the GMO crops in Kauai, if they were actually not GMO crop and it was actually real corn,
mm-hmm.
Shoot, we'd all be eating corn every day. There'd be like, you know, like little sects of people coming out and like grabbing corn, you know, or if they had like squash, you know, I'd be like, boy, I'm just going to go grab a couple of this and a couple of that.
Right.
It's all that nasty GMO. Yeah, nobody's stealing it. I think that's kind of, you know what I mean?
Sure, sure.
Real food, you know, people would be like grabbing a couple of pieces here and there. But you never hear of anybody going, oh, you know what, dude, I just went over to the kind and went and got some.
Went and grabbed some of the good stuff.
Oh, no, dude, oh, no. But that's what's getting put in our food.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I thought that was kind of funny.
Well, and I guess, I haven't tried it, but I've been told, you know, that it's not really fit for eating. That it's not the type of sweet corn that most of us enjoy on our plate or, you know, in our hands on the grill or, you know, skewered, however we prefer our corn. But it's a little, you know, since it's more for, you know, animal food, for finishing off cattle or pigs or whatever, that it is not so much of a good quality crop that way.
I just had my first Coca-Cola without high fructose corn syrup.
Oh, did you notice a difference?
Not really.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Was it organic?
It was pretty awesome if they came out with it. They're only in little 8 ounce bottles, but and glass bottles out here.
And it's labeled. I take it.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. But you can't like get a big bottle.
No, but not yet.
Yeah. So I don't know. I thought that was pretty good, and I've still got a couple in the fridge. I had one. I gave them a throwaway.
I wonder if we could buy that on island here. I don't know.
I kind of doubt it. It was such a small little. And you know, the grocery stores here are gigantic. The Walmart grocery store. You go into Walmart here, and it's, you know, you go to Southside Big Safe. The Walmart grocery store, the side of the Walmart grocery store is like 7 Big Safes.
Yeah, it's like a Costco.
Absolutely. Everything is so cheap.
Well, I don't know if you were here at the time. Do you remember there was a very controversial issue, and it was divisive in our community, and it was called the...
I've only been gone for 2 months.
It was called the Big Box Bill. I don't know if you knew of that, you know, that there was a piece of legislation that was drafted to, if you will, protect the mom and pops, the smaller, you know, Big Saves and the Times Market, and we as a community suggested that maybe having big box stores wasn't so good, and there was
you're talking about smaller box stores. I mean, Times is Big Save. You can't go from Ellie all the way to the east side without getting a grocery store. The main box grocery store is Time. and they control the market like that. You got to go to Suyoka's or Kulula store, or, you know, I mean, in order to get anything that's there. So they control all the prices. Their prices are pretty darn high.
Yeah.
They pretty much control. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm talking out of turn here, but.
No.
Shoot, the Times Market, you know, I mean, you got the kind of guy, the funny guy, what's his name? He's the spokesman.
For Times.
Yeah.
Not Frank DeLima.
Augie T. He's like, times this, times that. Oh, yeah. Why? You know, I mean, really, you know, those guys, they raise the prices. They're awful. You know, they're awful. If you go, and they don't even have local grown food.
But that's called competition.
You go to Kukuyula store or Suyoka store to go get local grown food. Right?
Yeah, well, see, this is the issue with that big box store. Is there was a number of folks in the community that thought, like, hey, we need competition. We need these big stores so that we could, you know, finally get a break on these expensive. Who wants to pay $5 for a half gallon of milk, you know? We should be able to get $1.50 for a loaf of bread like they do in California.
Where?
Right? Right. Well,
right.
Where are these
we have
big
area
stores?
That actually work. And then they shut that down. And then now they're trying to do, I don't know how far along they're going for the dairy and the one that they're supposed to do over in Mahalapu.
Right,
oh,
right.
Oh, speaking about
yeah,
a topic.
Yeah, how ridiculous is that? Well, why don't you just put the cows closer to the ocean so you can do more pollution?
There you go. I think we should have cows surfing.
Milking cows on surfboards.
On surfboards.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, we'll see what comes of it. But yeah, that issue is, you know, somewhat undecided right now. If the location is the, you know, if it's all about location, 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 or if there's a better model, you know, the numbers seem to be kind of hard to understand for folks. And why do we want to, if you will, ship our milk off island to process it only
and then
to be
bring it back
brought
at
back
a higher
and,
price? Oh, I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, right? I mean,
yeah.
They're doing that on the mainland right now. I don't know if you heard this, but they're taking chickens killed in America. They're shipping them all the way to China. China is processing them and shipping them back and selling them to us as processed meat.
Well, you've never heard of the Salmonella Express?
I'm sorry.
You've never heard of the Salmonella Express?
really, I mean, it's like, why are they wasting all the money?
They want?
I mean, yeah, you watch these people, you watch these government agents, and they do all this stuff, and it's like, you know what, I'm a talented person, you know, I'm not an invalid, I don't have a criminal record, I don't do drugs, I'm employable, and yet here I am living on Kauai, and I'm homeless, and I can't find decent work to save my life.
What's decent work?
A living wage.
Brad?
A living wage on Kauai is a heck of a lot larger than a living wage, you know, like where I'm living right now, where I moved to is in Utah, and I'm getting ready to move from Utah to another place. But, I mean, the living wages there are just...
astronomical.
It's astronomical, and the wages they pay you is asinine. You have to live so poor... that I wouldn't even leave my tent. I wouldn't even, it wouldn't even occur to me to say, yeah, I'm being totally serious with you.
Okay.
I wouldn't even entertain the option of renting an apartment if I got a 40-hour-a-week job making $12 an hour.
Wow.
I wouldn't even entertain the option of renting an apartment.
Well, right now, that's higher.
My wage would be going to rent and food, and that would bring me above the amount that I could get for food stamps, and then the end of the month I would have like $250-$300 to spare after I pay for everything, and then everything that you have to buy, like say you blow a tire,
right?
Like everything costs in Kauai, like the minimum is $100, you know, there goes $100.
$100, my man,
that you have is $100.
$100 for tires? Where on this island, for $100, can I buy a new tire to be able to put on my vehicle?
Oh, I paid like probably $115 over a tire warehouse over in the time.
Well, they're a very good establishment. Thank you for saying that. You know, but at the same time, I know that I'm looking on my truck. That is a Chevy. You know, it's a 2500 HD. and I want four new tires, and it's in the $800 bracket.
But the point is not how much you pay for your tire. It's not the tire. It's pretty much everything that goes wrong in your life is going to cost $100.
You're right.
You know, and that $100, no matter where it is, whether it's your tire, whether it's your whatever, it doesn't even matter. If you get a ticket for anything, that's $100.
You know,
a cell phone ticket, you get a people ticket, you get anything happens to you, it's like $100. That's a big tax. And when you've only got a couple $100 to spare at the end of the month after your $12 an hour wage, and you know, and I'm only feeding myself.
Wow.
I couldn't even imagine having a family and trying to rent an apartment, and the way they treat the wages out there is just absolutely asinine. And that's my point. And I apologize for interjecting my opinion to you halfway through your sentence. So please finish. I'm sorry.
No, it's totally okay, and I appreciate that, you know, for what you're saying. And this is a perspective that we truly have to look at. If I'm not mistaken, I know that, you know, here in the state of Hawaii, if you want to call it that, you know, that they have now gone to, I think, where we've gotten at least $10 minimum standard for a so-called, you know, minimum wage that you get as a worker. And yet you're saying even at $12 as a single individual that you can't make it. So how are we supposed to feel good, you know, as the general public, you know, trying to get a job or to get started or even support a family at a young age, whatever it may be, new and upcoming, you know, that at $12 an hour, you ain't going to make it.
You're not going to make it.
Bottom line.
How are you supposed to do it? They're tying your hands behind your back.
Well, you kind of are.
You're taking all of the possible agriculture and they're turning it into poison. You know, I mean, and all of that poison goes into the ocean. And so how are you going to fish? How are you going to hunt? You know, the big names. What is it now? You get Ed Case, and he owns a lot of this stuff. You get the Robinson. You still get the Knutsons or whatnot.
You're talking Ed Case or Steve Case? There's two different people.
And people are restricting people from hunting, and you know, I mean, shoot, but we got to eat the pigs. You know, I mean, I learned how to hunt pigs. With the kabuka trap and the knife and a stick, you know, I'd go out and I'd go camp. I'd go set my camp up and I'd put food out, bait out for the pigs, and then I would catch them in the kabuka and I'd stab them with a knife.
Wow.
You know, but you know, there's so many people that own the land. You're not allowed to do that. You know, there's a lot of things. You know,
any suggestions though? What can we do? You know, being that you've been there
God,
in the trenches as a homeless person.
I'm going out. I'm getting my CDL license next Wednesday. I'm getting my CDL.
Okay.
And I'm going out to Wyoming, and I'm going to be making between $80,000 and $150,000 a year my first year out.
Is that working on the pipeline?
Yeah, it's working, driving a CDL truck, driving oil, driving the shag, whatever the stuff it is. You know
wow.
what I mean? But I got it paid for because I was homeless in Kauai, and I got the food stamps. I flew out here. I stayed with a friend. I got paid. I got it paid for by, it's called Workforce Services. And they will actually pay for your CDL. I don't know if it's an option in Kauai. I know there's a school in Oahu, and I looked it up. I don't know if there's a workforce services on Kauai.
Okay.
But they actually paid $3,000. It took me over a year to save enough money to get here. And once I got here, I thought I would have to work for a really bad company and then just take my knuckles, you know, take my lickings, whatever. And turned out that the Workforce Services paid for me to go to a private school. And so in 4 weeks, I'm able to get my commercial driver's license, and I'm able to go out and make a whole bunch of money. And so now I figure if I'm making that kind of money, I figure I can go back to Kauai in, you know, 5-10 years and have a $500,000 in my pocket and I'll be good. I can get a piece of land. I can, you know, I can farm. I can learn about greenhouses and, you know, I can do my thing. And,
well, that'll last you a couple years.
No kidding. Well, I'm 42 years old and I'm broke. And so it's time for me to figure out what the heck I'm going to do. And,
right.
And I had to leave. You know, my body's too beat up to be doing, you know, the contractor.
Construction kind of business.
Labor and
yeah.
Construction. And, you know, I mean, diving is fine. I'm a commercial diver. I was, I worked on the boat. I worked for Captain Tara, who is wonderful over at Hawaii Sea Riders. And I worked for building a house over for Marvin over at YC Sport Divers. I have met some great, wonderful people who've really helped me out, but their wages are absolutely atrocious for what it would take for me to actually survive. I love working for them. I love the job, but I can't live on it.
Right. So you replace
what you got to do. You kind of have to leave, and you have to figure out, you know, what am I going to survive on when I go? How much money am I going to need? You know, and how long is it going to take for me to get that? And if you're paying $600, $800 a month, and you're making $12 an hour, it's going to take you about 4 years to make the amount of money that you're going to need to save to get over here and do what I'm doing.
Right.
It's a long time. It's a big job, you know?
Well, if you had any words to our upcoming and graduating seniors, you know, out of the high schools here on Kauai, you know, what could you possibly give to them as some sort of inspiration or motivation to understand, you know, your predicament and where it may be going?
That.
Do you got
something? As far as the younger generation goes, I tell you, I've traveled all over America. I've been all the way from Alaska to Florida and every state in between. I've been through every country in Central America. I've traveled extensively through Europe and the Virgin Islands and the Caribbean and everything.
So you're a man of means.
I've done a lot of really crazy things. You know, I just do crazy things, and that's my life. You know. And so for me, going out and getting in the truck and saying, hey, I'm going to dedicate 10 years to going through hell so I can, because I've already been through hell in 10 ways through Sunday, you know, for me, it's not really that big of a deal. For somebody who's used to fishing and hunting and making a living on the land, I mean, you know, it depends on who you are. You're asking me for words of wisdom for arbitrary person, I really don't think I'm able to give that, and unless you ask me something specific, I'm afraid I'm out of ideas.
You're out of ideas. Well, you know, I mean, I appreciate truly, you know, all that you've shared with us, Brad. You know, it's actually quite phenomenal, you know, that you've given us a little bit of your life story, you know, which is very real, and it is a piece that is still quite prevalent here on Kauai, you know, and sometimes a lot of us just maybe don't understand or don't notice. If there's anything with the holiday seasons and things coming on, you know, is there a word or something that you can give out to our general listenership, you know, as to how maybe we can help those or even just share the aloha with our homeless brethren or sistren that are out there, you know?
Okay, I'll tell you a little story.
Yeah, please
do. Now, I'm sitting up there, I'm camping, and...
this is where?
And I was always made on the south side of Kauai.
Okay.
And I was able to make enough money, you know, always to pay my phone. And I got into playing poker on the internet. And though, you know, you meet a lot of people playing poker. It was on one of those little websites, you know.
Right.
And I ended up talking to this guy. And, you know, I seemed to get along. And my brother, who was living in North Dakota, wanted to be a truck driver. So I started talking to him about truck driving, you know, and I asked him all these questions. And he's like, yeah, you know, tell your brother, you can call me. And so I ended up, I talked to him more and more and more about it. And I thought, you know, hey, I think I'd like to do it. And the guy actually told me that if you get a ticket here, I'll take care of it. I'll help you out. I'll hook you up. And just over the course of conversation.
Oh, Brad, you still there? We might have lost you. Something happened to the connection on the on the continent. That happens. Brad, I doubt if you're going to call back, but I do share the sentiment that Tim was expressing. Thank you for calling, and heartfelt stuff when you're dealing with the life on the
hey,
streets.
Are you still there?
Hey, how'd you get us?
Oh, man, I don't know what happened.
There we go. You must have went through a tunnel.
Yeah, I must have. I'm sitting there on the couch. On the guy's couch that I met playing poker.
Oh, well, that was the story you were going through, was the
yep,
poker online.
Exactly. I met the guy playing poker on the internet, and now I'm staying in his house, and I'm going through truck driving school, and pretty soon I'm going to be making big money, going through absolute living hell, but I'll be able to make the money that I wanted to make, and I can come back to Kauai. I can rent a piece of land or buy a piece of property or buy a house or do whatever I want in 10 years. So, you know, opportunities are there. And that's the only thing I can, words of wisdom, you know, you wanted something, that opportunities are there. One opportunity is to play a whole bunch of poker. You know?
Right.
Just keep playing poker. No, I'm just kidding. That's not an opportunity.
Well, you know, I mean, we have choice. We have free will.
I got really lucky on that. But, you know, there's a thing called Workforce Services on the mainland, and they will send you to any school you want to go to. Anything. They'll pay for it. They got like $7 billion from the government to pay for any school you want to go to. But you have to, you know, you have to be in contact with Workforce Services. And I don't know any phone numbers for it. I know they got one here in Utah. Go into Salt Lake City Workforce Services, tell them where you are, and ask them how to get a hold of them. You know what? When I went to get my food stamps in Kauai, they never even offered me that. And I know it's a federal program. You know, I know they have truck driving schools in Oahu. So I know for a fact, I mean, not for a fact, but I'm about 99% sure that the people that I was talking to in Kauai were just too lazy to tell me about the opportunities that they had. And you know what? I had opportunities there. I could have just gone to Oahu and then Workforce Services from the federal government would have paid 100%. And I don't have to pay a nickel of this back. It's $3,995 that the school charges. And I would say, you know, find out about that. And you know, I'm driving a truck, but they will pay for any type of schooling, depending on the amount of years. I think it's like a 2-year maximum, and you cannot have made more than $5,800 in the last 6 months. So if you're poor and you want to go to school and get off of the beach like I was dying. I was like, God, I got to get out of here. If you're poor and you really want to get out, you want to go do some training for a specific thing, they will train you. They will pay for it. And Workforce Services will even pay for your hotel room. If you have to go to another island, they'll pay for your hotel room until you graduate. So all you need is the money to survive.
And I guess this is, if you will, sometimes people will say, oh, government's got to cut back. But this is the type of funding that, you know, on paper, it's like, wow, that's a lot of money. But in reality, it can make a big difference in getting somebody's bootstraps a little bit better secured so that they can pull themselves up and get back either to work or engage in community, feeding their family.
Absolutely. And the money that you make, instead of it, you know, just going to a grocery store funded by Obama,
right,
the money that you make is actually going to your community. You're actually spending money in your community. Then you have an actual job, a viable job, a job that pays a living wage, you know, not $9 or $12 an hour. You'll actually have something that will pay you a substantial amount of money to do the thing you want to do. You just got to pick out the school. you figure out what you want to do, and you talk to your person over there at the kind up in Lahui or Eli, whatever, and find out the school or you know, learn about those programs. Those programs are out right now. I mean, they just Uncle, I tell you what, they just gave me $4,000 for nothing. I don't have to pay a nickel back.
Wow.
That's a big deal.
Oh, no, it's a big deal.
That's huge.
Yeah, it took me over a year to save up $1,100 to get here. And I had a couple of gifts on the way there, too, you know. So, you know, I mean, that's a big thing. It's just that, you know, when you go into the place in Lahui, into the state building, and you go apply for food stamps, and you do your interview, they don't tell you anything about workforce services.
Hmm.
I don't know why. It's federal money.
Wow. Well,
why not go, hey, you know what? You want to be a mechanic? Go to Mechanic Institute right here in Kauai. You know, who is funded or who will give a school... Who will train you? You know, I mean, so you know, people would have to be involved in it. You know, I mean, you would have to have somebody who would be involved in it and say, yeah, I would, you know, I can teach people how to work on a car. You know, if that's what you want to do, then choose for us.
Well, we got a great.
It's up to $6,000 for tuition right now.
Wow.
$6,000 for tuition. Mine was only $4,000. So I was asking, hey, can I get anything else? Like, no. Unless, they said, unless you get hired onto a company and they require you to have certain things. If they require, if the company requires you to have certain things, then we can talk about it. So I said, well,
yeah.
You know, I mean, like clothing and stuff, because I'm going to be in winter, like, negative 40 to 50 degrees negative. You know, I mean, those things that they require. Our clothes when we work, you know, would that work? You know, I mean, is that possible? They said, yeah, well, we just need to find out what your company's required. And since I haven't gotten hired on yet, I'm, you know, like I say, I'm not graduating for another week. But they say, yeah, they hooked me up.
So they hooked you up, though, but most of these programs and everything, you're feeling are on the mainland or on the continental U.S.
Now, I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying
okay.
It has to be an accredited place that the Workforce Services acknowledges. And the requirements for that, I don't know.
I see.
I don't know what it would take for a person to say, yeah, I work out of my house or whatever, I do this, I do that. You know, I don't know what kind of insurances they have to have or what kind of anything they have to have.
Okay.
All I know is that they said, yeah, well, we have this and we have this and this and this. And they just kept going on and on and on. And as long as you're below the poverty level, which most of the people I know are,
well, they're all living in tents.
Well, yeah, but you know, there's a lot of people who are smart. You know, just because you're homeless doesn't mean you're stupid.
Oh, by no means.
You're not willing to work and that you're a drug addict. You're sitting there smoking ice all day.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of people like myself who just really want to make a living.
That's,
you know, you can't really do it.
And it's choices. It's choices. Right. I thoroughly agree.
You know,
with
I mean.
That.
So, you know, if you're straight, you're good to go, you know, you don't, then apply, you know, go ask them about it.
Wow.
You know, go find out, hey, you know, do I qualify to have my tuition paid for? I went to commercial diving school and I had to pay $10,000 out of my own pocket, you know.
That's a big thing. That's a lot.
It's a lot of money. You
that
know?
Sure
it
is.
It took me over a year just to leave Kauai just to come here. And, you know, I'm grateful for it. When I come back, I'm going to have money.
So are you doing any diving on the continental U.S.?
Have I done any?
Yeah, commercial diving?
Yeah, in L.A. Harbor, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just and then also in more Southern California. Just doing, you know, like people's boats sink.
Oh.
You know, that kind of stuff. You know,
right. Salvage kind of thing.
You harness and you lift the boat up and you put the pumps in and you bring it up above water level until land. That kind of. But, you know, the pipe lifting and stuff like that, that's more L.A. Harbor.
Hello, Liz.
There we go.
But not a ton.
Brother Brad, we got to jam up into the top of the hour. Appreciate you calling in all the way from Utah. Where in Utah are you at?
Right now I'm in Salt Lake City, of all places.
Salt Lake City. And what's the weather like in Salt Lake City?
Oh, it's cold, bro. I've got 4 layers of clothes on.
It's feeling a lot like Christmas over there?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, it's awful.
You guys had a little polar vortex moving through the area a couple days back, too?
Yeah, well, it wasn't too bad. We had a little bit of snow. We didn't get anything gnarly.
Uh-huh. No. Nothing like Buffalo, New York.
I had to go to school, and I went out to my van, or my friend's van, and you know, he's off driving his truck, and I had to go figure out how to get all the ice off the windshield. I'd never had to do that before. That was kind of exciting. The windshield wipers didn't work.
No, they don't like it when it's heavy, no, heavy like frost. Ice.
Yeah. Yeah. So, hey, can I ask you, do me a favor?
Yeah, sure. Do what you got to do.
No, I would just like to ask you, would you keep me on the line, but mute my phone so I can listen to the rest of your show?
I don't know how I can do that.
Or how do I do that? Could you just like shut me off and then so I can listen?
Yeah, maybe. Or do you have access to the internet?
I do.
You should go to, if you're so inclined, this is not a call to action, but if you're online, put us in at www.kkcr.org. There's a little icon with a little radio, and just hit the play button, and the music and the conversation should be starting right up.
Oh, all right. Well, hey, you know, aloha, you guys. I miss you all so much, and I hope you have a great night, and I hope I didn't bend your ear too much.
Ah, no, Brother Brad, you were you got the phone calls rolling,
right on.
So got someone right behind you who's going to call talk story with us. So thank you, and go online, listen to us, and call back if you feel so inclined. And here we go, another caller coming on in. Aloha.
Aloha. Hey, I was listening to Brad. Boy, you guys were lucky, Brad. Dialed the wrong number, huh?
I think so.
I tell you. It's serendipitous.
And I really want people in Kauai to know there are workforce development programs here. There are a large number of them. The ones I'm familiar with are the ones at Kauai Community College.
Right.
And, for instance, there's a Vai'ale'ale program, which is for people who've never been to college. They will pay for you to go to college.
How good is that?
And then there's also, we have an OHA grant for Native Hawaiian people who would like to up their skills and do exactly the kind of thing that Brad was talking about. And there's also workforce development programs through the Veterans Administration here. And the state, often we just entered into a relationship with the state where we're doing half tuition. They're paying half tuition for a number of things, certifications and upgrading of skills required by employers. And Kauai Community College also offers a number of degrees and professional degrees and certifications in things like auto body mechanics and facilities engineering, large equipment operation, you know.
Beekeeping.
So there are a lot of options. I'm just very disappointed that nobody ever talked to him about them. And I think he was expressing some frustration there that was merited. If nobody ever talked to him about some of the ways he might be able to go out and get some help. So for anybody listening, if you're interested in the programs at Kauai Community College, the person to call would be Peggy Lake, and her number would be 245-8318. That's 245-8318, and find out about all the programs. We also offer skills upgrading your English, math, skills, etc., so that you can qualify to take some more advanced courses, and offering PV solar installation and maintenance certification on a national level. There's all kinds of opportunities, so take time and give them a call. You know.
That's it. You know, it's just there for the, if you will, the right people at the right time. You know, sometimes it is a timing issue. Yeah, sometimes it is hard to hook up. Sometimes the calendar doesn't really make it happen, but you know.
So maybe somebody who heard him today is listening and is going to call Kauai Community College and get hooked up.
There we
and
go.
So just think about it. How good is that, huh?
Wow.
How good is that? So thank you for
Liz.
Having us think about the options that are just available at the end of the phone call or the end of our fingertips. You can go to www.hawaii.edu. What is it? Kauai.hawaii.edu, and you'll get the
KCC. Yeah, just Google Kauai Community College. And what you're looking for is the Office of Continuing Education and Training, OSET.
They got a new webpage. I've seen a couple of links there. So you're absolutely right. There are resources available on island. Sometimes it's just a matter of making a phone call.
We're making a real big effort these days to get more information out about some of our classes and things so that more people are aware. And we're working on trying to offer classes locally, like on the west side and the north shore. So, you know, things are in progress, and the more support we get from the community, the easier it'll be for us to put these things in place.
That's right. The Sustainability Science Certificate is in need of students.
Yes, there's
a number of us, but the numbers aren't as large as we'd like them to be. So, you know, the new semester will be starting in the new year. So if folks are interested, you can give them a call at 245?
245-8318.
That's the Office of Continuing Education and Training. And for admissions, do you know the number there?
I don't know the general number. I'm sorry.
I would start with this, 245-8311, and that will get you to an operator who can direct you to
the
right place.
There you go. And they also would send you over to OSET if need be. But there's just some good programs, so let everybody take advantage of them. That's what it's all about.
Right on. Well, Lynn, thanks so much. I got to do my top of the hours, and I appreciate you listening and calling in on your community radio.
All right. Love your show.
Aloha. Love you. We're going to do this because we have to. That says, this out of the box is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with the good people at Kilauea Art, Hawaii Life, and Tahiti Nui, and the upcoming Kalo Festival. But before we go there, I just want to let folks listening that you are listening to Kauai Community Radio, KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. That's right, KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, and K224CQ Mauloa, and K284AL in Haleiwa. Whew. Hanahana Haleiwa. So streaming worldwide at kkcr.org, 90.9 here on the beautiful North Shore, 91.9 island-wide, 92.7 in the Anahola Moloa area, 104 on the gathering island of Oahu, and 95.1 on the cable. I'm Laura Christine. This is not the Get Low Show.
Announcing Kilauea Art Night, Saturday, November 29th, from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Stone Building in Kilauea, featuring over 40 local artisans with jewelry, original art, pottery, apparel, photography, henna tattoos, and gifts for the holidays. Live music, belly dancers, and keiki fire spinners, plus local food trucks, sweet and savory pies, and ice cream. That's Saturday, November 29th, from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Stone Building in Kilauea.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com. Waipa Foundation presents the 5th Annual Kalo Festival, Sunday, December 7th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Waipa, just past Hanalei. A celebration of everything kalo for the whole family. Live music and hula, local artisans, fresh food with kalo, poi pounding, hands-on crafts, and the Queen's Challenge Kalo Contest. A water slide for the keiki, too. Information about pre-festival workshops, recipes, and art contests online at waipafoundation.org or by calling 826-9969. That's the Kalo Festival, Sunday, December 7th. Entry fees support the nonprofit Waipa Foundation.
Right on. Mahalo's for supporting Kauai Community Radio. It's a little bit after 5. We've got about 55 minutes of community forum. The phone lines are open, 826-7771. If you're off island, 866-275-1112. That might be for you, Brad, out there in Utah, 866-275-1112. Save yourself a dime.
Really?
We'll take that one. I mentioned something about the Keystone vote. This was the... I'm trying to find it if I can pull it up.
Looking.
Yeah, exactly. There we go. Senate rejects the Keystone XL pipeline by one vote. The U.S. Senate has narrowly rejected a bill to approve construction of the Keystone XL pipeline, the controversial project that will carry tar sand oil from Alberta, Canada, to refineries on the Gulf Coast of the United States. Coming into the floor debate on Tuesday, there was not any certainty as to which way the vote would go, a true rarity for the Senate, since most times they know what's going on. At the beginning of the debate on Tuesday afternoon, this is coming off the thinkprogress.org website. It's an article written by Emily Atkin, posted on November 18th. That'd be yesterday. The bill sponsor, Mary Landrieu, said the debate was one of the first debates I've been in 8 years where the outcome is uncertain. But I know in my heart we have 60 votes. As it turns out, Landrieu did not have the 60 votes to pass her bill. It failed by a final count of 59 to 41. So it's a one vote margin.
That's all it takes.
The vote represented the first time that the Keystone XL pipeline has been heard by the Senate, mainly because Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid had historically refused to bring the issue to the floor. But the Senate Democratic leadership changed tactics and pushed Landrieu's Keystone XL Pipeline Approval Act to the floor this week, in large part because of Landrieu's drive and also to try and save her Senate seat. Landrieu is behind in the polls for her December 6th runoff election against Bill Cassidy, a Republican, and some believe that the pipeline's passage would help her win some support in the oil and gas-centered state of Louisiana. Environmentalists have long opposed the Keystone XL pipeline, mainly because of the type of oil it would carry. Canadian tar sand oil is more carbon-intensive than other types of oil and harder than conventional oil to clean up when it spills. Senator Barbara Boxer, one of the strongest opponents of the pipeline, ripped into her pipeline-supporting colleagues for ignoring the health of communities that are located near tar sands refineries or that live near the pipeline and are at risk from a possible spill. Quote, their children aren't going to live there. Their grandchildren aren't going to live there. They brush aside these concerns, she said on the Senate floor on Tuesday. This is filthy, dirty oil with the most dangerous pollutants. However, the Senate's rejection of Keystone XL is more of a blow for Landrieu than it is for the pipeline project itself. Indeed, Senator Mitch McConnell, Republican from Kentucky, who is slated to be the Senate Majority Leader of the next Congress, promised soon after Tuesday's vote that the Keystone would come up again very early next year. So it ain't over, but for now, I think environmentalists are kind of glad with the outcome of that one, and folks who are climate change deniers are thinking, what's the big deal? And those folks who are suggesting that climate change is the biggest issue since the super ferry, that we're on our way. Here we go. Hey, now we got some more conversations on the phone. We're going to punch that line. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Who, me?
Yep, that's you. Is this Brad?
All right.
Right on, you made it back.
Hey, one thing. First, I was in the water for the super ferry.
Oh, right on. Good for you.
And I'm against fracking.
You say frick no to fracking.
I'm just saying that, you know what? I'm poor, and I'm going to take the money. And how bad of a person does that make me? You know, they're going to hire a driver to go and do it.
Mm-hmm.
How bad of a person does that make me? And I mean, really, they're going to hire somebody. And honestly, I don't agree with it. I don't like the fracking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't agree with it. Mm-hmm. I don't like the Keystone Pipeline. I agree with what they're doing in the Senate. I'm glad that they did it. the money is still there. They're still going to have truckers drive the oil from one side to the other.
Yep.
So
might as well be you.
Well, shoot, Sprawhead.
Hey, that's why you went there. You went to Utah to make some money.
Yeah, but I got to go up to another place to go and actually make it. But I mean, I agree with it. It'd be like me being a deckhand on the Super Ferry.
Right.
You know? Like, oh, cool, we got shut down. Yeah, I don't agree with it. We got shut down. You know, these guys are out in the water. They shut us down. Yeah, hey, you shoot, shut us down.
That's the dilemma, the environment or the economy. Is it, local food or is it biotech crops for profit elsewhere? You know,
my brother's been working out in North Dakota for the last year and a half, and he's been doing the grading of the fields for the companies and whatnot.
Right. He's a freaking fracker.
No, he quit because it got too cold.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to make ethical decisions.
At negative 60 degrees. You got to understand the temperature. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, that's
one cold spell with a K.
That is a Arctic vortex for sure. Ooh. Hey, Brad, we got somebody else who wants to chime in on this conversation we had earlier. But thanks for sharing.
Put me on hold.
Okay, put him on hold, Tim, and we're going to bring up this conversation about restrooms and homeless people.
Will.
Aloha, you're there.
Aloha, I'm here.
Thank you for calling in.
My pleasure. Thank you for hearing me.
Sure. Not a problem. This is why we're here, community radio for our community.
That's why I support you every year.
Oh, thank you for that.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, my pleasure. It's they're just simple. I'm going to make them short.
Okay.
But bathrooms, restrooms around the island are horrible. As you know, I think you guys have talked about in the past. I hope you have.
We have.
And other people have.
Hard not to.
But Our economy, and the gentleman was just mentioning that you were local economy and food.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the biggest things about our local economy is tourism. I mean, right?
Yep, correct.
Okay. So when we don't supply tourists with reasonably clean and convenient restrooms, that seems very foolish. Doesn't it?
Yep, I'd agree.
100%.
Agreement. You're driving from Lahui. I've lived here for a long, long time. You're driving from Lahui to Hanalei, and you might notice that there are two restroom facilities along the way. If you're not watching the road and watching all the signage. But it just seems so counterproductive. And I know that it's very expensive, and I know they get abused, and I know there's issues involved that need to be addressed. But there seems there must be a fairly simple, comparative to politics and a lot of other issues, GMO and everything else, to solving this restroom issue. And I know a lot about development and about cesspools and septic tanks and leach fields. And I know there's a big problem because our water table is so
shallow
and so forth. But there are ways to get around that.
Well, can I chime in a little bit on this, Speaker, as you're talking?
Please
and,
do.
And one of the reasons, that I found quite puzzling when our council member Mason Chalk, made a presentation on this very issue, and he says, for the amount that it would cost us to build a new facility at a county park, such as a restroom, to house
mm-hmm.
or to handle
yeah.
this. He goes, it is almost the same or the equivalency of what it would cost me to build a home for my family, and that is, he was, citing specifically in the range
okay.
of $350,000.
Yeah.
Now, can you handle that? $350,000
yeah.
for just a place or two commodes, in a county park. Now, that in itself, I think, speaks volumes to me as to why Something is wrong with this picture.
That is the reason.
Isn't
it? Why it's not done. If it only cost $100,000, they would do it.
Correct.
The fact that it cost $350,000, and you know the restrooms have been improved in Hyena, and I believe in Anini. You know, I know pretty much all the restrooms all around the island because I drive a lot and I see them all.
Okay.
But if you divide that number of, say, $350,000, taking it on the, you know, relatively high side, but just in general, by the visitors and their experience, I would say it would be a winner. You know?
Yep.
I think there's a lot of losers. A lot of losers when a tourist goes into a restroom and says, oh, my God, to her husband or wife, whatever. That was a horrible experience. You know, I mean, and that happens a huge amount. And it's mainly because of vandalism and, you know, misuse and so forth. But also the actual cost of putting in a septic field in this very low water table that we have, and the fact that it percolates so fast into the rivers and ocean. I understand that. But when you compare it to the amount of dollars that get spent by tourists, and to me it crosses over directly to our environmental situation. And if we became known as the most eco-friendly green place to visit, which, you know, we have some of that. We have some, a lot of tourists that come here repeatedly, specifically because it's so beautiful and so clean and so healthy. But the one thing that's lacking, in my opinion, other than potholes, is restrooms.
Yeah, no. You're absolutely right about that. You know, the facts that, you know, kind of tying this into the homeless issue of having, you know, available showers, the ability to you know, get out of the elements, you know, shelter is important. But going to the bathroom, you know, that's kind of a basic thing. Hello? And we really don't value it the way that we should in regards to, well, what does it say when we, you know, make some of these comfort stations unavailable for our visitors and for our Ohana. So I think we might get another phone call coming up.
No problem. I'll finish up. I just wanted to make the point that economically and ecologically and reputation-wise, it doesn't make any sense not to have clean, or at least reasonably clean, healthy restroom.
Usable restroom. No, you're absolutely
right.
Thank
you so much, really, for expressing that.
Appreciate you sharing your mana'o with us and your love and support for Kauai Community Radio. Do we have another? Here we go. Coming on up. Aloha, caller. You are on the air with Tim Kalai and Jimmy Trujillo on Out of the Box.
All right. Hey, check this out.
This is a familiar voice.
Are you ready?
We're ready.
All right. Well, I got a buddy of mine that was working for the Kauai community. He's paid by the state. And he was working on the low-income housing agency, you know. And
yeah.
So they were building a low-income housing. And I don't know if it's my phone that's really messing me up, or can you hear all the backtrack, or am I just talking normal to you?
No, you're good. You're good to us, so.
Okay, then fine. I'll just deal with it in my ear. So anyway, what he had was, it was $27 an hour for doing general labor, and if anything was wrong, then they would have to reincorporate it with Oahu. He ended up putting in doors that cost $27 a piece. It would cost the state $350 to put in one door.
Wow.
It is absolutely ridiculous how much money the state pays. You say that it costs, what, $500,000 to put up some cinder blocks in the freaking septic tank. Are you joking?
I know.
It doesn't cost that much. You hire some people and they go and make it, and then there you go. $350,000 to $500,000 to put up a bathroom. You look at the basic things like the road expansion from, if you're coming from the south side, you get the road expansion over by
take your time.
Before Lahui.
Before Lahui?
You get the one road expansion. It extended the road.
Puhi area.
It's been like 6 freaking years for one fucking mile.
Excuse me. Let's watch the language.
My bad. I apologize.
It's all good. We appreciate it. I'm just giving you a heads up.
But if it took that long to build a road, then New York would never be connected to California. You know? I mean, it's like they use the money. They use the money and they just rape it. They rape it.
So what do we do if we're constrained by these unions that supposedly make this so astronomical? What do you do?
You know what? That's something that you really have to talk to your city council about, because your city council are the ones that approve these.
Yeah, and let's...
They have these discussions about, you know, hey, you know what? We're going to have to spend $250,000 to have a assessment of what we can talk about. Or I don't even know what all of this money is spent on. It's just ridiculous.
Right, I can assure you one thing, though. It's not just because of the union.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to get into union bashing, let's get in on the facts and not just make statements like, it's the union driving the price up.
My partner across the way did.
Okay.
Otherwise, we're going to hear from Ray McCatania. We're going to have a labor show discussion as we speak.
I never said one word, union.
No, you didn't.
You did not.
It's my partner over here. I'm giving him a hard time because I can.
That's good.
But did want to get back to the topic.
Why does it cost $500,000 to build a cinder block toilet? Why?
Right.
Huge cut. Are you freaking kidding me?
Yeah, well, I tell you, it's not because of the union contract. Right? It's somebody's getting a little bit of a payback, that's for sure. Well, he might be a union official or not. Might be a friend of the council person or not, but it's not because it's a union job.
No, excuse me. I just was putting things out because, unfortunately, there's a tendency of some sort of a linkage sometimes when you get these astronomical, you know, figures.
Oh, well,
like this
know.
Gentleman's saying, you know, for a two-stall facility costing mm-hmm. you, and this is what Mason had brought up,
right.
that it's going to cost me as much as something I can build a home, a three-bedroom, two-bathroom facility for the same amount that I can build a public restroom facility.
Right. It was brought up in the election.
Have you ever been to a public bathroom? You think that you can actually spend $350,000 on one of those piece of
No. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, the one at the end of the road sure is a nicer facility than what they had before. Now, I don't know if it was worth $400,000. Likewise, up in Wailua, the overlook at Opaika'a Falls, you know, it's nice. It's lava rock, you know. It's got some good features.
They better have, like, lavender flowers and somebody handing you a tissue when you go poo.
There you go, you know, with gold handles and everything. Yeah, no kidding.
Grand, man.
Something you'd find in Vegas, you know. Come on, let's go. Maybe with a kind one-armed bandit as you walk out, you know. Jeez. That would help maybe pay for it, wouldn't it? If the county invested in a couple of those. Try your luck as you go in.
Try your luck. But that's how, you know.
Pay as you go.
It does.
Or as you flow.
But my friend who worked in the state industry, and he was building the low-income housing. These low-income housing projects that are paid by the state or federal or whatever, I believe it was the state, they're paying completely incompetent people completely ridiculous wages, and then when those ridiculous people make a mistake, the state automatically gives them extra money to pay for them to redo it. Let's say a countertop is 1/4 inch off. Well, they can't have that on a low-income housing property. They can't have a countertop 1/4 inch off. They can't go buy a piece of quarter round or a piece of trim that goes around to cover that and then just caulk it and seal it. They can't do that. No, they have to pay these people $45 an hour
to
put
rip
it
out.
And then pull it out.
Yep.
And then send it back. And then have another one sent back to them, and then put it in and hope that it's the right size. Because if it's not the exact right size, they got to send it back again. These low-income housing places cost millions and millions and millions of dollars, and it's because incompetent bureaucracy of people who've never picked up a goddamn hammer in their life.
I agree.
And what? Are you kidding me? You think I really gonna give a care or any kind of, it's gonna matter to me if this is 1/4 inch off on my door jam? My friend had to replace 17 doors. It's $700 a pop. It's $700 a pop. He made all of that money. He's making $45 an hour replacing these doors that worked. They worked. They weren't broken. He says this is just absolutely retarded. He says they're having me. I wouldn't do this kind of work in a millionaire's house. I worked in Hollywood. I worked for millionaires. People in Hollywood wouldn't even require me to do this amount of work.
Wow.
And these guys at the state building say, oh, yeah, bring them all back. He says, you really kidding? Are you kidding me? I have to go and take all of this stuff apart and take it all out.
Well, there's a number of examples where we could just say, gosh, you know, it's so easy to spend other people's money when it doesn't come out of your...
But who is monitoring it, and why aren't we told about it?
Well,
that's my point.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of folks asleep at the switch. We got another caller, my friend, so thanks
all
for calling back.
I'm sorry I got all excited.
No, that's quite all right. That's why we do this kind of stuff. Call back if you like. We're going to take another phone call. Aloha, caller, you're on the air.
Hey, aloha. I just had a few quick comments about things already said.
There you go.
How I am. I like the idea. You know, I kind of like government myself, but I like them to help represent the people and make decisions and not do the work. I think there could be more bid contracts, not no bid contracts.
Sure.
Where people make a bid, and that's what they do the job for.
Right.
If they screw up, well, then they fix it.
They eat those $17,000 doors.
No
kidding.
For
the same price, yeah.
Right.
I mean, it's a lot of waste. Okay, back to the fracking and the Keystone Pipeline. Yay for that to be stalled for once. And for the guy who talked a lot, the trucker who is going over there to make money doing that, well, that's one of the, like the people on Kauai who just have one eye and one ear open. I work for the GMOs. I'll make the big money, but then I just hope that they pay for my family's cancer later on. You know, like, I'm going to go to the mainland. I'm going to do this trash work, which basically is mercenary work, which is work that you wouldn't do unless you got paid.
Right.
You know, one of my standards is, hey, if I wouldn't do it anyway, you can't pay me to do it.
There you go.
You're a paid hitman for the corporations because none of that oil is going to Americans. It's crossing America, putting America in jeopardy, going down to these big oil companies, refineries, and getting shipped overseas.
Mm-hmm.
So we get nothing
out
at
of
the risk.
That's
and
it.
A few paltry jobs.
There you go.
There's a better way.
There's a better way.
Yeah, I'm also working hard, but, you know, the thing with making a decent living, you know, well, we get places like Walmart who are basically government-subsidized mega-billion-dollar corporations because you can't work at Walmart full-time and support a family. You have to get food stamps. So the whole company is supported by taxpayer dollars.
Right.
Wow.
So it's just, you know, something's not working. I'm glad we got the minimum wage rising up slowly, but, again, I'm walking hard to a destination, so I'll get off the radio and...
Huffing and puffing again.
Well,
there we go.
Well,
thanks to Bareback Jack for
it.
Chiming in on that. The phone lines are open, 826-7771. If you're off island, 866
275-1112. I was hoping to get maybe somebody from Maui or across the channel to chime in about the Maui moratorium and the lawsuit that Monsanto has filed against the county of Maui. The people decided they would like to make the moratorium happen, but the lawyers are having another say. The judge has decided to maybe put things on hold and allow the will of the people to be squelched again by the bench. Here we go. We got another caller. Caller, you are on the air.
Oh, hello. How are you?
We're good. Thank you for joining us.
Great. Well, I was actually just responding to the last couple of callers regarding higher wages maybe paid by the government, mm-hmm. and lower wages paid by Walmart. And I guess one of the things that I feel strongly about that I do support, I am familiar with government contracts for, I think, for construction, they go by something called Davis-Bacon wages.
Okay. Tell us a little bit about that.
So my understanding is if you, if the government puts out a contract for something to be built, mm-hmm. then the company that is bidding on that contract has to pay Davis-Bacon wages, which are basically, like one of your earlier callers was saying, his friend was making, you know, $40 an hour putting in doors. Well, you know, some of that is really governed by this Davis-Bacon structure, which says any company that we're going to be hiring has to be paying its workers well. So you don't have a corporation or a company bidding on a job that's making really good profit and paying their workers lousy wages. So that's something that I really support and I feel strongly about, that, you know, if we're going to be using public money to do projects, then we want to make sure that we don't have a few people at the top of a company making a lot of money and paying their workers minimum wage or mm-hmm. whatever. So part of that structure that I think that's in place that is important is the Davis, you know, most projects that go out to bid, they do require Davis-Bacon wages, from my understanding. So, and having done a project myself where I did get an economic development loan and was required to pay those wages for construction. So, anyway, that's something that I feel like is really important, that if we're going to live in a society where we're paying living wages, then, you know, I certainly support government being one place that says, you know, this is where we're going to make sure we do it.
Mm-hmm.
And, so I certainly agree with your caller that, you know, a lot of Walmart's practices, and this has come out in various newspaper articles, where they have someone, you know, telling people how to get government services rather than providing them themselves as a company. So certainly those are two issues that I feel like we're, as a society, would like to see addressed more. And I'm not sure all the ways that we could do it, but certainly one way that I do support government is in, you know, is in paying living wages and decent wages. And yes, there's waste, and yes, obviously there needs to be oversight so that, you know, we don't have projects costing astronomical amounts.
Right.
But at the same time, I certainly support that government projects are designed so that people get paid well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And can have a significant impact on our local economy when we employ these types of strategies or have these kind of mechanisms in place that ensures a fair wage or a prevailing wage is being offered for the part-time work that project provides.
Right.
Absolutely. And, you know, I'm sure, you know, in all projects and anyone who's done construction, things tend to cost more than you think they're going to. And I'm sure in government projects, I mean, the highway project in going into Lihue has certainly taken a long time.
yes, it has.
You know, there's probably some waste there. But I'm not sure that the area of waste that I would address is workers' wages. I would say maybe more oversight.
Yes.
Certainly timelines that companies need to tape.
Right.
Otherwise face penalties. But, but certainly people making a decent living and making good wages is something I like that our government is insisting.
I would vote for you.
Thanks so much for calling in. I think we have another caller who wants to chime in, so appreciate your input, and thanks for joining us on Kauai Community Radio.
Yeah, you know, the lady that just spoke just completely missed my point. Now the thing is that if you're going to be paying somebody X amount of dollars, you're going to want a product. Now, if you're going to reject that product that they create, even though it's working, you're going to reject it, even though it's working just fine and within normal specs of a normal home, it's fine. Why take all of the money to reject it, to replace it, do it again for a select few who get triple wage from every average Kauaian?
Right. I think you There's guys are no arguing point. Separate points, though.
There's no point in that. There's no point in that. You're building a place. Build it. You build it. And you make it work. They make a place that we should cost, like you're talking about the bathrooms. You know, they make a place that should cost $12,000. I mean, are you kidding me? A bathroom costing $12,000 with cinder blocks? I mean, $12,000 would be ridiculous. But they're talking about $120,000, $350,000. You're talking about an apartment complex that should cost, you know, way less than what it costs. But they charge like 4, 5, 7 times the amount of money. And then they say, look what we did. We spent $2 million on Kauai. Well, what did you give us? You always didn't really give a shit. I'm sorry for my language.
There we go, brother.
Thank you.
That's really two.
Third one, you're out, man.
Hey, so we got another caller wants to chime in. And so call back again, Brother Brad. You got our number. We're going to jump in on the Aloha right. caller. You're here live
right.
radio. Are we there? How about now? Is that you?
I'm still here.
Yep.
you got me.
Stay.
Put me on the payroll?
Yeah, there you go. Stay. Tim's flipping the buttons. I don't know.
Is she on?
There we go. Is somebody new?
Tell her to call.
Is that Brad?
Yeah,
it's still Brad. Still Brad here.
Hey, Brad. Well, we can't shake you, man. So, caller who was talking to Tim, call back.
Please call back. I'm really sorry. My fingers are dialing all over. Sorry.
He's dialing for donuts. And, you know, we're talking a number of different things. I want to talk about an event that's coming up tonight is one of the things that's going on. Well, actually, I can't find it right now. I got so many different pages open here. This one is.
You know, I think what I think is interesting.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, what's interesting
is how much money they say they spend on Kauai, and how much money is actually used for the benefit of Kauai. You know, they say, oh, we have this much of a budget, we have that much of a budget, we spent this much, we spent that much. Well, great, you spent all that money, but how much did you waste? How much was your waste? How many things did you throw away? What did you do to it?
So are you saying we should have more audits?
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
From New York to California, it wouldn't even be built by the time it took from Lihue to the end of Lihue, not even to the end of Lihue. They're only trying to build, but 2 extra lanes. I mean, my goodness, there's nobody who has any sense. It's like they seem to say like, hey, you know what? We spent all of this money, so you can't complain about us.
Well, who's going to want to go on?
So you can't complain. We spent $250,000 on a bathroom. Are you kidding me?
Well, you should feel honored while using that facility then.
Oh my God! I hope they have lilacs in it.
Self-wiping toilets in that thing, brother Brad. I got a message I want to share with the. You can hang on there, but I want to share this with folks because this is tonight. It's 6 p.m. at the Kapal Library Conference Room. It's a workshop presented by Suzanne Marinelli. She's a coordinator of the Hawaii State Legislature's Public Access Room. She's going to be on island for the rest of the week conducting a workshop called We Are the Powerful. It's a 75-minute meeting that's designed to demystify the state lawmaking process and demonstrate ways people can speak out at the legislature without ever having to leave Kauai. She says that we're completely nonpartisan. That's the legislature's public access room. It's an exciting thing that we offer. The PAR, the Public Access Room, is a division of the state's nonpartisan legislative reference bureau and has been assisting residents learning about the interworking of lawmaking for 25 years. The workshop tonight will highlight the mechanics of the legislative process, how the legislature's website works, and how the information can be used to help people be more effectively involved, including how to be able to better create and deliver effective testimony. So last night there was a meeting in Kilauea. Tonight it's in Kapa at the library in the conference room, 6 p.m. Tomorrow night, Friday, is going to be at the Lihue Neighborhood Center in the main hall. And then on Saturday noon at the Koloa Library Conference Room. So I've attended one of these workshops. It's very informative. I was totally clueless, or I shouldn't say totally clueless, but didn't know a rip. And then when I was done, I had a much better idea, better grasp of how to kind of access some of the websites, how to submit online testimony, and agree it's a great way to track legislation. It's a great way to provide input to committees that are hearing this legislation. So that's, again, tonight, 6 p.m. at the Kapal Library, tomorrow, 6 p.m. at the Lihue Neighborhood Center, and then Saturday at the Koloa Library in the conference room. That's at noon, and it's a workshop. It's free, open to the public. And it is the state legislature's public access room, a workshop entitled We the Powerful. So, Brad, thanks.
Definitely check it out.
Just wanted to share that.
It's a great program.
And you know, we're, you know, a community forum that opens the airways for locals, visitors, you know,
truckers,
you know. I talk like an idiot, you know.
Nobody said that.
I'm passionate about things, certain things. Like, you know, there's some things that really get my goat, you know. I mean, they really do, you know. Like, why are you spending so much money, like an exorbitant amount of money, like huge amounts of money, and not putting money back into the community? It's like they're trying to create a class system. You know, it's like
they've already succeeded.
We're going to do that. Great. You know, I really want you to put that bathroom in there, but why the heck? What? $500,000 for cinder block?
Yeah, well, there you go. Gold plated cinder block.
Or you know, whatever. And then you go into Polaholi, and the people in Polaholi, you know, the guys, they had to rebuild their roads in Polaholi. They had to buy permits to go rebuild their roads in Polaholi. And they made them better than the state would do, and the state never reimbursed them.
No. They volunteered to do that.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. The state should have paid them, but the state wouldn't. Because the state was paying so much money for so many other things that it wasn't in their budget. And the budget is different than the CAFTA. CAFTA, what is that? You guys tell me about that. What is the CAFTA? CAFTA?
Is that a CAFTA? I don't know.
The amount of money that the state actually has to amount of the money that the budget says. You have a budget, but you also have the amount of money that that is in the state.
Well, here you go. This is gonna turn your stomach too.
That is something that Felicia was talking about before. I think about 2 years ago, she was talking about.
Yeah. Well, check this out, Brad. Brad, listen to this one. This is coming out of the Garden Island. It's an article by Dennis Fujimoto, and this is the Rice Street renovations are ready. So in Rice Street, you know where that is in Lihue, right? The plans call for turn lanes, bike lanes, and pedestrian lanes. Long term, it also calls for landscape mediums to give
Rice Street in Lihue, more grassy flair and parking lots that double as pocket parks during evening hours. The blueprints for a redone Rice Street were unveiled Monday during the opening gathering in a week's worth of presentations on the street that's about to undergo a transformation. Quote, the goal for Rice Street plan is to revitalize the area. That's for Marie Williams of the County Planning Department. Not just here, but throughout the street. We want to bring excitement back into the area. Unquote.
Well,
Rice Street Week is a public-private partnership between the County of Kauai, Get Fit Kauai, the Lihue Business Association, the Kauai Chamber of Commerce, and the Lihue businesses. Some who saw their plan said they were all for it. We like the plan, said Larry Feinstein of the Kauai Beer Company, who happened to craft a special brew for the Rice Street Rye in honor of the event. Anything to bring life back into the area is good, and we support it. Lee Stemmitz of the County Planning Department said the renderings and aerial photos of Rice Street demonstrate the scope of work that will take place and will take some time to finalize in an area that stretches roughly from the Lihue Civic Center to Ho'olako Street. That's the one going into Vedina Stadium past Ace.
Oh.
So the first are the conceptual plans that can what can be done with striping and putting paint on the asphalt, says Steinmetz. Of the first phase that will feature bike lanes and pedestrian lanes and a center turn lane for cars. This work can start soon, perhaps in the spring of 2015, and be completed before the fiscal year ends, unquote. He said that the special painting and restriping are experimental and will be monitored for adjustment as the plans become reality. Down the line, the article says the plans call for designated parking spots that can be turned into pocket parks with some plants that people can carry out to mark off the areas. Quote unquote, the second phase involves more money and will take time, says Steinmetz. One of the features of this phase is the parklet, a miniature park where various activities can take place to bring excitement. These parklets are created from existing on-street parking during the times when parking is not at a premium or when the no parking rules end. Steinmetz said the public is invited to a more formal presentation of the Rice Street plans during two meetings this week. The first is from 8 to 9:30 a.m. Wednesday. That was yesterday at the Haw Coffee Bar. And the second is from 6 to 7:30 p.m. Thursday. That's tonight at the Lihue Civic Center at the Mo'ikeha Building, rooms 2A and 2B. That's tonight, 6 to 7:30 at the Lihue Civic Center. That's the Planning Commission meeting, Mo'ikeha Building. That's rooms 2A and 2B. So people are also invited to walking tours where they will have the opportunity to analyze how Rice Street functions for different users, discuss issues, and share concerns. Walks are scheduled for Tuesday morning from 7:30 to 8:30 a.m. and Wednesday afternoon from 4:30 to 5:30 p.m., and they're going to meet at the Kauai War Memorial Convention Hall. The plans will also be on display through December 5th at the Haw Coffee Bar and at the Kauai Beer Company, as well as at the Lihue Civic Center and at the Lihue Public Library. In addition to the proposed changes, people are also able to write in their comments. Quote, we spent some time going door-to-door to businesses along Rice Street, said Pat Griffith of the Lihue Business Association. People have been very good about offering their input, remembering what was good and what can be changed for the better. This should be helpful in moving the plans forward. End of quote. So that's an article from Dennis Fujimoto in the Garden Island News. That was yesterday.
TGI.
And that's a meeting tonight if you're so interested. If you see Bev Brody of Get Fit Kauai, you can talk story with her. You can also go to these meetings or get involved in the walks. Check out the link or the article at the Garden Island News. Also have another announcement of an event that's coming up. Oh, let's see. Where do we go with that? It's going to be coming up.
Coming up.
Here we go. Got so many Facebook pages open, I can't see where they're at.
Here we go.
Well, we're going to get back to Brother Brad. Are you still there?
Oh, I'm still here, brother.
There you go. So hey. What do you think about that? It's a little bit of money being spent.
Is
the community going to benefit from that?
I'm really hoping so. I've learned about some gardening projects that use like greenhouses. And there's one greenhouse that... Well, it actually, in Florida, they do Walt Disney World and seven different major hotels for all of their organic gardening.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah,
nice.
And they do it on posts. They do it on posts. They look like telephone poles sticking up through the greenhouse. So it's in the trickle-down effect.
Huh.
And so they water one, and then the next one waters the other, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and all
love
the way
that.
To the bottom. And they only have to use a half an acre.
A half an acre only? Wow, that's fantastic.
That they supply like 200,000 pounds of fresh organic produce per year, and these girls are making a fortune. So, yeah, I do plan on doing something with my money.
There you
Good
go.
For you.
Well, here's something that is for community consumption. Saturday, November 22nd, that's coming up, 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., and lunch will follow. It's a community work day. It's at Waipaw. And Waipaw is the community garden and foundation out here on the North Shore in the beautiful Ahupua of Waipaw. Says, join us for a morning in the Waipaw Lo'i. It's work day in the garden, in the lo'i. Bring tabis, hat, water bottle, change of clothes, towels, sunscreen, and a smile. So folks will be able to help either do some weeding, maybe doing some work
pulling,
in the ditch,
yeah.
maybe doing some harvesting.
Cleaning the lo'i.
A special opportunity as well to talk with Waipaw founder and executive director, Stacy Sprote-Beck. She'll
Woo-hoo!
Be there. Lunch will be following, so from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m., that's this Saturday, November 22nd, an opportunity for you to give back to community. If you'd like more information, give Emma a call at 831-566-4575. That's Emma at 831-566-4575, or give her a call at or email her at Emmalea, that's EMMALEAH at hawaii.edu. Workday at Waipaw on the 22nd.
You know, and I think there's another big thing that nobody's addressed.
What's
so
that?
Far in this conversation.
What?
The amount of ice. And ice is a huge problem.
Yep, it is.
And you know what? And I don't know what there is to do about it, but being homeless in Kauai for as long as I was, but I tell you what, it breaks my heart to see people succumbing and getting involved in that, and then even though you love them, you got to turn them away, and it's absolutely heartbreaking. I can't even tell you how much I want to cry for all of my friends that I've seen go through that. And, you know, I don't think that it's law enforcement. I think it's lack of education.
There's a number of issues. It's complex, that's for sure.
It's lack of love from their family. And it breaks my heart.
Well, Brother Brad, we're going to take another phone call here. Hang on, and you can listen in. I want to share with the folks that we've got another event on the 22nd. This is going to be later on that day from 12 p.m. till Pau at 433 Kukuihale Road in Anahola. That's by the Kanu Kapono Charter School. It's an event called Ike Aina Musical Festival. It's a fundraiser for Kanu Kapono Charter School, being sponsored by the Kupal Rotary Club. It's our first annual. And
ooh,
it's featuring
first.
Live music with John Cruz, Liko Martin, and Laulani Teo, Keli'i Kane'ali'i, Kavika Kahiapo, Stilwata, The Quake, Kalalea Kuahane, Kekula Nihau, Kani Kapono, Raquel and Grace, and Rumba de Fuego, and Bootleggers, along with OCDC. So
yeah.
Tickets are reasonably priced. You
that
can get them at
really
Larry's
great.
Music. You can get them at Vicky's Fabric, He Fat, General Store. You can purchase tickets online, but I can't see that because I can't read it. Anyways, that's this Saturday, 12 p.m. till Pau at
Ooh.
The Kani Kapono Charter School. We've got a caller who's going to be on the air right now. Aloha, caller. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for the show. And so this is, I guess, the end. I'll be as quick and to the point as possible. I know this auntie here has lived on an island for a long time, and she knows a lot about the water. like all the water systems all over Kauai. And so she's been sharing me these downloads. And so I felt to call in. It's information. So basically, she's telling me that Grow Farm has about 24,000 acres. And that's more than Hawaiian Homelands on Kauai. They have 24,000 acres. And they basically got it super cheap. And they're sucking all the water on the south side where people who have lo'is don't even have water for their lo'is because the Grow Farm is sucking all that water to grow their geochemical seeds.
I thought water was subcontracted and bought by the Dutch. Don't the Dutch own it? Isn't there something with the water rights for Kauai being owned by the Dutch?
Nothing like that. The people of Hawaii are basically water is a public trust resource, you know. So it's nobody really owns it, you know. It's shared. You're supposed to be shared in common. But the young lady, you know, that was just speaking on the radio, you know, was bringing up a very good point. They have been having at the county council these workshops dealing with water and the specific issue on how.
Well, what about Kauai Springs?
What about Kauai Springs?
Water. You have Jenny and you got Rick, and they own Kauai Springs.
Yeah, but there's been some major.
Menihuni Water put up a lawsuit against them.
Yeah.
And Menihuni Water is based out of Oahu.
Right.
And Menihuni Water decided that they're gonna shut down Kauai Springs. Now Kauai Springs comes out of Kahili Mountain Park.
This is true.
And Kahili Mountain Park, owned by the Canusans, and that water pipe has been in, and it's been perfect, pure, beautiful water right from the mountain.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden now you get Menihuni Water, who has distilled water, so they just use pretty much tap water, garbage water, and then they ship it over to Kauai. Then they have a lawsuit against Kauai Springs, and then they win. So Kauai Springs shut down.
Well, it's a lot deeper than that. You know, that's surface material, you know, and once again, if you want to follow that, you can certainly, you know, get online, and find some of this information
online,
out.
I could talk to him on the phone. I could call him right now.
Right. So in the moment, if we could just put a prayer out, all of us listening, to bless the water and for the consciousness of our people on the whole planet, and especially here on this beautiful island, that we can learn to respect and protect the water that is pure. We're so blessed to even be able to have springs on this island. There's pure water springs. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much, caller.
But the guy in the water from the mountain, Kahili Mountain Springs, it comes from Kahili Mountain Park. Kauai Springs comes from there, right from the spring. And it bypasses the state right there. I worked there. I bottled the water at the plant. You know, it bypasses the. It goes through the state, and you get the most pure water from them. And then they get sued from a company that takes garbage water and says it's more pure, and they win in the court, and it's kind of ridiculous to me. I mean, like, my sister-in-law, I used to live in Kahili Mountain Park. So, you know, I remember when they used to have a well that would come up from the ground, and we would get our water from the well in the ground.
Wow.
Well, there you go. Brad, appreciate you joining in all the way Salt Lake City. And we're going to drop you right now because we're at the top of the hour. You are listening to KKCR Honolulu, KAQA Kilauea. And it's been 2 hours of fun. Thanks, Mose, for holding down the fort with Backroads Radio. You should be holding it, lock it down here for Evolve Radio coming on up with Brother Dove. Celebrity Dove's in the house, and we got some background music that's going to take us away. Tim.
Hey, I got one thing here.
One thing. Go ahead.
There was a caller that called in earlier in the program, didn't want to go on the air or nothing, but he said, hey, if there's any message you can leave with people today.
Yeah.
He says, this is the thought of the day.
Oh, I love it.
Okay, here it is. President Obama has pardoned more turkeys than people that are rotting in jails.
Well, there you go.
Oh, I tell you. So we'll there you go, one. Caller. We gave it to you, you know, put it out there. And as always, we thank our listenership for all that you do. You know, Thanksgiving is coming up next week. Be kind. Help our brethren and sisters. Share the alohas, you know, however it may be. You know, there are plenty of us, there are plenty of folks that are out there, you know, that need help. If can, give them a helping hand. That's what Kauai is about, and especially exuding the aloha in all shapes and forms. May we always hold it to the highest and the best. Thank you, Jimmy, for a great show.